That's a great song. Thank God for the love of God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for life and life abundant. Amen. Everybody doing good? This has been, I was thinking last time I moved from a church, I moved from a town and moved from Ulysses to Hayes, America, and been going to church here ever since. This is a good church. It's been a good time to say amen. It's a really good church because it survived me for 40 years. That means it's a great church. Hallelujah. And for that, I am thankful. And now with the transition happening, by the way, next Sunday we'll officially install Pastor Tim as pastor. We're kind of breaking him in on the drums, letting him move up a little bit. But I'm excited about what God has for this group of people. And I believe that the best is yet to come. And I am thrilled to just be a part of what has happened here over all these years. And I was talking with my wife, Debbie. Say hi to everybody, Debbie. But anyhow, I was just sharing with her that this season of my life has been so different. It's been wonderful. But the thing about it is the Holy Spirit's been involved in all of it. And when the Holy Spirit is involved, there's a sweetness to it. And the sweetness comes from the very heart of the Father. And so God has everybody's life at heart. And everybody that lives here, abides here, and has been here, I thank God for you because you've made my life better. You made it richer. And I've really hassled with what to minister this morning, and I'm going to do a lot of it. Just, I think on my heart, I got scriptures written down, and I know that the people that run Media Shout, they will tell you that he never follows script, never follows the outline, but at least we got some place to start. And I'm going to start this morning with just saying, first of all, I want to make it very clear that anything that I have to say, that's in line with the Word of God, okay? And I try to do that as much as I can with the best of the Holy Spirit's help in my life. But this whole thing is not about any one person. It's about Jesus. I'm where I am because of Jesus Christ. I have the family that I have because of the Lord Jesus. I have the church family that I've been able to minister to because of Jesus. And because of Him in my life, things have been dramatically different for since 1973, it's been absolutely different. And they haven't gotten worse. We've gone through some challenging times, but they have gotten better, better and better. And I just thank God, I believe, and I've said this over the years, that I believe our latter end will be greater than our beginning. That the early rain was wonderful, but the latter rain is going to be even better. And so we want that in our lives. Amen? So, if it hadn't been for Jesus, my kids probably wouldn't be here, and I may not be here. I may be in, well, I would like it to be thinking I wasn't roasting in hell, but if you don't know Jesus, that's where a lot of people are headed, and they don't know it. And so that's one of the reasons that we've been here. So I want you to understand that if I could do no more and just remind you of this, and I believe this, if I could just remind you that the very thing that I pointed you to for most of my tenure here as a pastor is that you're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That we always make our hearts direct themselves to Him. If we look to any other source, we're going to fall way behind. And that's what God does not want. He wants us to go forward with Him. He wants us to be established in Him. That scripture that I just quoted you is out of John chapter 12, or one of them is out of 12, says, Jesus said, As I'm lifted up from earth, I will attract everyone to me and gather them around me. And then the scripture I just quoted you about looking unto Jesus is Hebrews 12:2, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then I'm going to read that from the Passion Translation. We look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And I'm thinking, this scripture here in Colossians chapter 2, the New Living Translation, verse 6, says it pretty clearly what my heart is trying to say here this morning. If you get nothing else, let me help you be pointed toward Jesus and remind you that's where we're all going. You're here because of that. You don't end up in churches by accident. It'd be, two of you could have said amen there if you wanted to. You could have just got out on the limb and said it. But listen to this. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. When your faith works, you are thrilled with God. And the promise from God's word is this, faith works. It's the faith of God. We live this life by the faith of the Son of God. And that faith cannot fail. So if we are allowing that faith to move and operate through us, then praise God, we cannot fail because we're attached to faith. Amen? So if I were to say anything about family, and I know that a lot of times over the last few years, and especially at meetings, you hear a lot about people living to leave a legacy. And I've not so much had that in my mind, though I think that's probably important, because legacy really is just leaving a really good inheritance. And, you know, my kids look at me and they say, well, I hope that's money. There may be some of that, but the richest thing, the most blessed thing, the most prosperous thing that I could leave you with for an inheritance is that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best legacy you can leave anybody. And so I want you to understand this. The Bible says in Psalm 16 verses 5 through 6, says, Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. That which you have given me, the land that you've given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. God gives us what we need. We are the blessed people of the Lord. I stand here today in the presence of some pretty special people. People that have gone to church here, willingly gone to church. There's been Sunday mornings I thought, I don't know why they come, because it's not the great preaching. And you always want it to be the good preaching, but it's not always that. It's got to be something different. And to me, it's always the Lord. The Lord and having relationship with the Lord. And that brings us together as one. But I was thinking about my children in particularly. Four of the five are here. And that's a pretty good percentage for us. 80% is not bad. And I was thinking about my kids, because they have been probably I shouldn't have gone there. They've been here as long or longer than anybody. And a lot of it was by not their choice. It was by their dad's choice. But they've been some of my greatest supporters. And they cheer me on as they never did like to see us go through challenges, but they always stood with us. And we went through a lot more good season than we did challenges. We did go through challenges. And as a pastor, you're always hoping that the negative things that we've gone through, that it doesn't affect them on in their future, in their walk with the Lord. And so that's my prayer for you, you five and your families. I love your kids. Starting to like Nathan again. And not that I never have stopped liking him. I love him. Because I know that God has a wonderful future for him. I know God has that for all my kids. That's part of the inheritance that you get when you're walking in. And so you guys have been an incredible blessing to me. And then it could not go without saying, my most avid supporter and one of the main reasons that I've remained in the ministry this long was the support I got from a sweet lady named Sandy. And there were times that I would have left in a heartbeat. And she told me in no uncertain terms that if I left, she would write me often. Because she would stand there. I remember one Sunday morning, and I hope you just kind of indulge me a bit, but I remember Sunday morning, well, the night before, she came up to me and she said, Wes, I'd like to preach tomorrow. And I said, what? She never did that. She never asked me to preach. I'd ask her sometimes, but never did she come and ask me. She said, I got a message for tomorrow. And so I said, well, okay. And her parents happened to be here. I knew that had to be the Lord because she never had ministered or spoken in front of them. And so something was on the inside of her. And we're going through a tough time. And so she got up and we were being challenged by the dumb devil, but he's using people. How many know the devil uses people? And sometimes we've all given ourselves that and we want to make sure that that doesn't happen. But she got up and shared some things about how to avoid rebellion and that kind of thing. And then she said, you know, nobody has to be here. And I'm sitting over here to my left and I'm sitting there going, and well, that's true. Nobody has to be here, including me. I'd like to be gone right now. And so she says, if you don't like it here, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And I go, well, hallelujah. That sounds like something I might say. But I do know this. The influence that Sandy had on her children has been stamped in gold. And the influence that she had on me, the same. And I was married to her 3 months short of 51 years. And that said, people ask me, how can you go on a marriage? And I've gone on a marriage because I believe the hand of God is on what I'm doing right now. And brought me a beautiful wife, Debbie, and I have a different covenant with her than I had with Sandy. But we go forward with God. Amen? And one of my biggest supporters right now is this sweet lady here. And she has, as you all know, she pastors in Topeka. And she and the church there have been very supportive. She encourages me to get back here as much as I can. Matter of fact, she's always asking about you, and she's always praying about you. And so she's been a great, avid supporter of what's going on. But thank God for you. And then there's the body of Christ that God graciously sends your way. And he does that in a way that's just amazing to me. The people that you have opportunity to come into contact with. Had it not been for Jesus, we would have never met. And because of that, we met some wonderful people. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to continue to go on. And so my prayer with you is that you do grow up and develop and enjoy all things to the full that Christ has for you. You'll never come behind in any good thing if you make the determination to walk with, live with, and be with God. I believe that God knows what he's doing. And I believe God continues to lead people, guide people, put his hand on them, anoint people, and raise up men like Tim Nunnery. Raise up men like Brandon Pro. Raise up men. Tom Walsinger is trying to get older, but he stays youthful. But he surrounded me with some incredible, incredible guys. Guys that will speak truth to me. Guys that are just not yes people, never have been. Just guys, and then he began to surround me in the body of Christ with people who just were just so supportive. And on a regular basis, that always just amazed me. There were Sundays that I walked out here not liking me too well. And, you know, the Bible says you love others as you love yourself. And so you have to learn what God has created you to be and begin to love what God's created you to be. And it's a lot easier to love other people because God doesn't guarantee that we'll be perfect in everything we do, but he does guarantee us that he who is perfect will be with us in everything that we do. Amen? And that's the good news. Everybody say good news. I was thinking about it, and again, you're going to need to indulge me a little bit because the church that I started in Ulysses is no longer in existence. And but when I left, we had that opportunity early on to just really get to know some wonderful people. And so when the Lord led me to Hayes, Kansas, there was a definite leading to come here. And we came here, and I went from a senior pastor position, and whatever that means, I don't know. But anyhow, I was the senior pastor there at a young age. And I remember telling the Lord, I said, Lord, your word says not to put a novice in office. I'm your novice. I have not had training for this. I've had some word training. And so I kind of asked him probably what a lot of other men have asked, men and women have asked the Lord. Lord, how come you sent me there? Because speaking of Ulysses, I said, because I am a novice. You know I'm a novice. I know I'm a novice. He said, all the other ones said no. Then that kind of ticked me off because he said there's other ones that before me. I mean, I wasn't your first choice. God's looking for somebody to work with him. And so we stayed there. We were there for about 3.5 years, and it was an amazing thing. The first Sunday we met in that community in Ulysses, Kansas, we had 80 people show up. The next Sunday we had over 100 people, and before the 6 months were over, we were running over 180 people. And it seemed like it was the easiest thing that had ever happened. It was easy to start a church, but it's always easy when you got God involved with it. It's always easy when you got God leading you and guiding you. And so when it came time for us to leave there and come to Hayes, it was not a move that we wanted to make. We didn't feel like it was, you know, we didn't know what it felt like to be led out of a church to somewhere else. And then we came here. And I can thank God real openly and honestly. I can thank him for leading us here. He led us to Hayes, Kansas. And we looked for a house, found a house, and not many people do this, but we're still in that same house. It's been redone a lot. Just got the bathrooms done just in time to leave. Running water's nice. But in 2 years here as associate pastor, I resigned, and we were building this building out here. I was out here helping build this. I helped ram the walls on the outside. I helped put all the windows in, the doors in. I tell people I'm almost as old as dirt out here. I am. I've been here a long time. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to go back into a full-time ministry as a senior pastor. And I thought it would be somewhere else. So we resigned and went out to work in New Mexico for the summer with Sandy's folks. And early July, I'm walking up a place, a road called Bitter Creek Canyon Road, praying about where I need to go, where you want us to go. And I was up toward the end of my walk before I turn around and come back down. And it was early morning, and early morning in the mountains in July is wonderful. 40 degrees, 45 degrees, and it's just great weather. And so I hear that. I go, back to Hayes. Well, that's interesting. And it really seemed strong, so I walked back down to the trailer, and I went in. I said, Sandy, the Lord just spoke to me. And she goes, we're supposed to go back to Hayes. I said, yeah. Really? You know how many times I told you when God's challenged us to give a big seed, like, you know, $5? Which for some of you, that's still the case. You need to give, you know, go to 6. Help yourself. But anyhow, we'd come to a point where the Lord said, I want you to give a real significant chunk of money for us. And I'd go to Sandy and said, Sandy, the Lord wants us to give a real significant amount of money. And she said, absolutely. And I go, I wish one time she'd just say, no, we're not going to do that. That's kind of what I was thinking about the Hayes thing. Maybe she would be there and say no. And before I could, I said, honey, the Lord just spoke to me. And she said, yeah, we're supposed to go back to Hayes. I said, yeah. But the thing about it is the Lord spoke to both of us. And that afternoon I called Jack Johnson, the founding pastor, and I may have a few words to say about him later. Well, I will have a few words to say about it. I hope he's watching, because then I can just say thank you to him. But anyhow, we got here and we got on the phone. I called Jack and I said, Jack, I said, the Lord just spoke to Sandy and I this morning, and he told us that he wanted us to come back to Hayes. And I said, I'm calling just to let you know I'm not coming back. I don't expect a position. I'll come back and I'll help you. I'll do whatever. I can do substitute teaching. I had a teaching degree. I had like a little bit of carpentry. I could do some small skill stuff. And I said, I can do whatever. And he said, well, Wes, it's kind of interesting you should call today, because the Lord told Julie and I this morning that we're supposed to resign. And he said, we think you and Sandy are supposed to take our place. And I said with my mouth, oh, ye of great faith, that's not what I'm coming for. And I did. I said that out of my mouth. And he said, would you pray about it? And I said, well, I'll pray about it. And, of course, the rest is kind of history, ended up here. And so we're here in Hayes by the voice of God. And I think that's important to know, because when you're there, anytime trouble comes, you're not really going to leave until you hear that same voice tell you to go somewhere else. You don't leave because of trouble. You leave because God tells you to. And God can get things sealed up and done effectually in a wonderful way, and get you to where you can leave on good, higher ground. And I feel that way about all the stuff that's happening. And I know somehow this, Tim and I have talked about this, and we'd probably say we'd like the transition maybe to go on a little bit quicker. But the thing about it is, it's going on. And I'm excited about Tim's leadership, and I'm excited to lay hands on him next week and speak words of victory into him, and just see what God has to do with the next season in the life of this church. I'm excited about that. And so as I look out around the congregation, I see people that we've gone through the good, the bad, the ugly with. Heartache, sorrow, lots of joy. We've had lots of fun. Amen. You have to like dumb jokes to go here. That doesn't mean that you're one of, you know, it just means you have to like really kind of not good jokes. So we're here because God sent us here. I'm leaving because God's sending me somewhere else. And I want you to feel comfortable with that. And I will miss being here as much as I was thinking about it. I kind of added up. 1981, we started going to church here full time. We were gone that summer of 83. But a potential of 4,400 services. 4,400 and some services. 4,412 services. That's a lot of messages. And most of them were pretty good. Just ask me. And just coming to church, if I just came twice a week for all that time, I will have driven to over 25,000 miles in Hayes, Kansas, just to come to church. A church alive is worth the drive. But the thing of it is, the people have done the same thing. You could stand back, you can measure and think, how far have I driven just to come to church on a regular basis? Well, you've driven a long ways. We got some people, there's very few churches that can tout this, but we literally have people that drive here from Paradise. There may be some other people have churches that have that, but we don't. We literally have people come here from Paradise. They must really be anointed. Then you meet Char and know that's not the truth. And I've probably given everybody an opportunity to be mad over the years for that. You know, this is always in the back of my mind. I've been around pastors, and you hear pastors talking and say a lot of times, and I heard this, you know, a lot of times churches take on the personality somewhat of their pastor. And to you, I'm sorry. I feel bad for you if I've affected you that way. But if you've taken on the characteristics that God has put in me and God has built into me, then that's a good thing. And I'm believing God with everything in my heart that we continue to see God's hand, not just on me, not just upon Tim, but upon the congregation that God has placed here. Some of you have been long-term, and for that I am incredibly grateful. My heart today is that we go on with God, that we not pull back for anything or anyone, but we go straight forward. You know, I just turned 73, and I'm telling you, I don't feel like 73. I feel pretty good. I feel better now than I did when I was probably 50s, and it's just, to me, that's a gift of God. And so I want for you what God wants for you. Years ago, the Lord gave me an acrostic. Now, acrostic's where you have a name spelled vertically, right? And then you, each letter has a meaning. Well, the Lord gave me an acrostic for, hey, Sandy hates these things. And I'm thinking that when she got to heaven, the Lord put her in a building that has a sign outside that's an acrostic. Just playing with her a little bit. But he gave me one about haste. And it was probably more for me than it was anybody else, but it was, heaven answers your supplications. See, everything's orchestrated in heaven. That is God's position. He's seated in heavenly places. And we've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but heaven, it means God's orchestrating a plan for you and for me and all of us personally together. God is on our side. Answers. God answers you. He will not leave you in the dark. Why? Yours. He's a personal God. Yours. God answers your prayers personally. He doesn't leave you in the dark. Supplications are just in humility. Earnestly pursue God and His best for your life. And that's what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to come short of anything. He wants you to live the way God intends. God is not number one through, and I got to say this. God is not through with this country. If we stay focused with God, we're going to see probably one of the greatest moves of God that this earth has ever seen. We know there are people, but it's going to take Christians standing up, getting some backbone. You cannot vote for individuals that have perverted plans for our country. And you cannot vote just because of your pocketbook. You vote because of, I believe, God-like character flowing out of those people that are running for office. And part of the problems in time past is people voted for people that are not godly people. I was thinking about the founders of this church, and as a matter of fact, there's people here that probably not many of you know Jack and Julie. Jack and I grew up in Lakin, Kansas together. We're about a block and a half from each other. We sinned together. And he got born again, saved, filled the Holy Spirit here on campus at Fort A State. And I thought he had just done flipped out. I thought he was probably more normal than just being a drug addict. You know how stupid we think sometimes when we don't know the Lord. And Jack started telling us about the Lord. And when we'd go back to Lakin for a visit on a weekend, I would literally, that's when my prayer life really began to be exerted and hopefully profitable, because I would ask the Lord, I said, Lord, whatever you do, help me not to run into Jack. Because if I do, he's going to invite me over to a Bible study. And those Bible study, and I wouldn't be in town probably even an hour, and the phone would ring. He'd say, hey Wes, I heard you're in town. I said, He said, why don't you and Sandy come over for a Bible study? And I said, listen, Lakin's a town of 1,400 people. There's not a lot to do there on a Friday night. So we'd go over there, and the first night we got over there, Jack was pretty good on the guitar, he was a pretty good singer. And before you knew it, they had Sandy and I seated in chairs and circled around us and started praying for us. I said, man, if my drinking friends could see me now. But you know what? It worked. It worked. And so it's because of men in past generations. I think about Jack a lot, and he probably didn't think about me that much. And I say, what I think about Jack is this. I'm thankful that he listened to God. I'm thankful that he and Julie had hearts to serve God and come and start this church back in the spring of 1975. I thank God for, I have not even gone to Bible school yet. But I'm thankful for men and women like that. Because had they not done that, we probably would not, any of us, be here today. So it's, how important is it for one person to make a decision to follow Christ? Not just by words, brothers and sisters, but by deed as well. It's easy to talk the talk, but it's really hard to walk the talk. But it's not impossible. Because we have to understand that there's more people watching us than we realize. I'm a Christian. Oh, you are? Well, what are you doing that shows that? What do you do when you get an opportunity to maybe not be truthful? Do you go ahead and tell the truth? Well, sure you do. You do what's right. Out in the public, and this world really needs good examples of people who are walking with God. So I would like to say, if Jack and Julie happen to be watching, I'm sure this is one of the live streams they want to make sure they watch every Sunday. But I want to tell them openly and publicly, thank you. Thank you for sowing a seed of righteousness in this community called Joy Fellowship. And because of that, thousands of people have been touched. So we say, me personally, the congregation that's here today, we say thank you to Jack and Julie Johnson. You rock. Thank you. We're here because of what other people have done. We're here because of what Jesus did. We're here because of prophets of old prophesying that seed of righteousness coming into this earth. So hundreds of years, thousands of years have gone by, and because of man after man or woman after woman's obedience to God, we end up here. The best thing you can do is keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep them on the Lord. And then you too live a life before your friends, before your family, before your children, before your husband, before your wife. Live a life that gives honor to God. Can you say amen? We serve a really good God. Amen. Pretty bad, Pastor Tim. They won't even make room for you. I promise you that won't be the future of you. Would it make you mad if I told you that's all I had? And I was just starting to like you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Who are we looking unto? Jesus. When you're in a tight spot, who do you look to? When you feel like you've been shortchanged, when you feel like you've been blindsided, who do you look to? You always look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. The faith of God works. So when it's tough, you go on. And if I, listen, if you're here this morning and I didn't mention your name or point, I just want you to know that you're in a good group and I haven't done that intentionally. And the men, and I mostly talked about men. That's probably unfair. I should talk about at least one nice woman. Let's see. See if I can find one. What a bad joke that was. Well, I will tell you this, and I was just, how many know I was just teasing? There's some wonderful women. There are really wonderful women in this church. But one that's probably got my respect as much as anybody over the years, is Sandra Bainter. Just steady with God. Just walk with God. We have some women that, they'd call some of us senior Denise, but Denise is another one of those. It's good to know. We have people that serve in the church, the workers that have been so diligent, Roletters. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we have school teachers. We have college professors. Just amazing. We have people that have gone through really tough times and they just keep on going. I love that. I remember begging God to send me somewhere. And as a matter of fact, one time I said, Lord, I would even go to Siberia right now if you would just, that sounds good to me. And he was just silent. God is a God who is on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Now, this is the first Sunday of the month, and we always receive communion on the first Sunday of the month. Thought it would be very appropriate that it, as one of the final things I do as pastor of this church is share communion with you, which I think would be wonderful. The blood of Jesus was shed for all of us. His body was literally pummeled, literally almost destroyed for us so that we could have life and have it more abundantly and that we could walk in healing. Amen. So I should go ahead and serve the people that which represents the body of Christ. And those of you as you're served, just hold on to it till we all get served and we'll partake of this together. Thank you, John. Well, that's going around, I'll tell you. Lindsay has a unique way of making words just fit for the wrong moment. And we got a call one day, and it was from Quinner, Kansas. And Lindsay found Sandy and said, Mom, so-and-so called from Quinner, and Grandmommy's had a slight suicide. And Sandy went, you mean stroke? Oh yeah, stroke. Not sure what a slight suicide is. When we were in Ulysses, Kansas, these are great stories, but we're getting ready to go to New Mexico to go see Sandy's folks and go skiing. And Lindsay's about four or so, four or five in, anyhow, at the end of it was a Sunday night service and we were going to take off. Maybe it was a Sunday morning, I forget. But anyhow, we're going to take off within the next day and go skiing. So we receive the offering and the ushers are taking it back to count it. And Lindsay yells out across the sanctuary and says, hey Dad, is there enough in there to go skiing? I said, well, maybe. So then, Lindsay, we had a lot of fun with our kids. We were pretty random. I remember years ago, the girls had wedding dresses. They stood up as attendants. Was it Melissa's wedding? And Seth got a hold of one of them. That was when he was a little thinner. See, you all think when pastors' homes, when you go home, all the kids are dressed up in church clothes and are sitting in there, and I walk in and they go, Father, teach us. You just know we taught them on the go, really. But one day we're sitting out in the family room And Seth comes walking out through the door from the kitchen to the family room, has a red dress on. And he swirls around and goes, does this make my butt look big? You ever heard that story, Wes? You guys can tell some stuff on me, but it will have to be not up here. Hallelujah. Jesus, let's get a little bit more serious now, but Jesus, when he was serving and ministering to the disciples, the apostles, the night before the crucifixion, he said, listen, unless you eat of my flesh, this which comes from heaven, the bread, the manna from heaven, which I am, unless you eat of me, you will not see eternity. And of course, he tied that into his blood being shed. You have to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And we know that wasn't a literal drinking and eating of his physical parts. It was symbolic of the bread of life. And the new wine was symbolic of the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. That blood was shed so that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly, and that we have access to heaven through and by that blood that washes us clean in Jesus' name. Amen. Take heed, the body of Christ. In like manner, he took the cup and said, this is the cup of the New Testament. When you take this today, you can understand that the blood of Jesus that's been shed for you is an eternal flow, has an eternal flow. It never quits flowing. There is a fountain that flows with Emmanuel's blood, forever running, forever flowing. So when you take this today, remind yourself that you've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus of your sins, past, present, and future. Does not give you license to go sin, but just gives you license to walk in righteousness before God. Amen. Let the cleansing be yours. Let it continually be yours. And don't ever back away from this. You know, a lot of times people don't get hooked back up with God because they get under condemnation. This came with no condemnation. It came with conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so when you partake of this, you thank God that he sent his only begotten son to shed his blood for you, to have his body broken for you. No bone was broken, but it was sure messed up through the flogging, the whip of the cat's tails. No man should have to endure what he endured, and he endured it and lived so that we could live as well. Amen. He died for you and died for me. And in so doing, he shed his blood and gave his body up for us. Take and drink the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for family. We thank you, Lord, that we're part of a family that their names, our names, are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the blood of Jesus and because of us believing on that name under heaven by which no man can be saved. There's no other name other than the name Jesus that we can be saved by, and we thank you for that. We give you honor. We give you praise. And Father, for every home that's experiencing brokenness in any way, I thank you, Lord, that right now there's a mending that's taken place. Where hearts have been broken, a mending taken place. Where bodies are reeling in agony and pain and sickness, healing is taking place. Where mourning and sorrow has been the standard of the day, no longer, joy unspeakable and full of glory takes its place. And I thank you because of the blood of Jesus that we come behind and no good thing that you've prepared for us. And Lord, for those who are facing a mountain that's just so much bigger than them, that they have the faith to speak to it and say, you come down and you bow to the name of Jesus. That mountain is not going to consume them. They're going to consume the mountain with the word of their mouth. And I thank you, Lord. Speaking to the mountain is what you told us to do. And we'll tell it to be cast into the sea. Not let reasoning be that which determines what we say, but let the final word come from God's word. God's word says, if we'll say unto that mountain, speak unto it, believe with our hearts and not doubt, that that mountain will be cast into the sea. God, we speak to those mountains. I speak to them in the name of Jesus. And God, whether it's been a moment or moments of just uncontrolled anxiety, I speak to that spirit right now. And I command it to stop in its maneuvers against that family. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And Lord, where there's not been much peace, I say now there is. Peace unspeakable. Peace profound. Peace that fixes everything that's broken. That just happens to be the Prince of Peace. And I thank you, Lord. And I give you praise. In that name which is above every name, the name Jesus. And all that agree with that said, amen. You want to come up?
Yeah. I have asked these two guys to come up here just in case Pastor wouldn't give me the mic. So. That's the only reason I wanted two up here. So. But I got the mic, so... I'm glad when I get to come up here because I get to see Lindsay, I get to see Aaron, Johnny, and some of the people I haven't seen for a while. But Pastor was commenting about his kids. Well, I always felt like I was one of his kids. I've been here for so long. I got saved in 1983 at a full gospel businessman, and Pastor West was there, and that's where I met him. That was in 1983, so he's been mentoring me all these years and has helped me grow spiritually. But anyway, I can't look at Lindsay. She's trying to make me. Pastor West, we just want to, on behalf of all the people here, we want to thank you for what you've done for us, how you've helped us. You've, like you said, Charlize and I were standing back there and we had tears running down our eyes, and somebody said, is it because Pastor's leaving? I said, no, it's because that song they were playing about no scars in heaven. But we will have, that's why I'm just in case we don't finish, you know, right? So anyway, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart and my family for all you've done for us. And yeah, anyway. If you people would you all just stand and applaud Pastor and thank him? We do have a gift basket sitting back there for him. And should I say anything about you are? Okay. You want the mic? Okay. You want these guys up there? Okay. Anyway, let's just give Pastor a applaud for all he's done for us, for blessing us for all those years. We thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. You saw me crying in the chapel.
I just want all of our family to come up. Seth, your crew. Well, your crew. My crew. It's a lot of us. We just want to say thank you. Our lives are forever impacted because of you dragging us to church. but I just know how much we all love you. Our church family loves you, and we're blessed to be your kids, grandkids, and... Yeah, favorite daughter-in-law back there, favorite sister-in-law. But anyway, this is our crew. We're missing a couple people, but Carly's back there with Roman somewhere. And but anyway, Melanie and her crew. My brother Seth, he's the baby. Lindsay, it comes from Arizona. She's here a lot. Melissa's planning on being here next week, and then my crew. But when you go back there, we're going to have cake. There's a board by the stage that we would like you to sign, just to send with him when he goes. But thank you all for supporting our dad over the years. It's been a lot of years, and we're going to miss him, but we know that we're moving on. So anybody else?
I think she's crying because her husband's going to take he's going to have the mic every week. So honestly, I'm in a unique position because this guy did my wedding, and that guy was my best man at my wedding. So I'm very sad that my dad's leaving, and I know a lot of you are too. But I'm really excited that this dude's coming along. It'll be the first pastor I've ever had that tried to steal my girlfriend in college. So, he stole my sister instead, and that worked out pretty good. That's true, isn't it, Tim? So, we both liked Fort Hayes volleyball players, and you got my sister. So. Dad, I'm proud of you. There's a lot of times I was upset. My parents were struggling financially, and I was always kind of like, God, he could do so much better financially. And all they ever talked about was how blessed they were. And I had a chance to have other pastors when we moved, Pastor Blaine, Pastor Mark in Iowa, and you were my best pastor. But Tim's going to take that spot.
So. Amen.
Thank you for supporting my dad. Anyone else? Sarah?
I had a little thing written, but because Dad said...
She read it since you messed up your words.
Yeah, I messed my words up a lot. I had a scripture, Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And God blessed me with amazing dad and also an amazing pastor. The relationship, it's a little bit different when your dad is your pastor. But Dad, he's been our strong foundation, not only for our family, but also for this church. And I've witnessed my dad through many, many years, even through adversity, but he never quit. He never gave up on our family or our church. And that definitely has been a good example for all of us. And I just want to say that what a great, amazing gift God gave us all. A man that doesn't back down. A man that speaks the truth. A man that teaches the word of God. And a man that is filled and guided by the Holy Spirit.
So just thank you so much, and I love you. I just want to say thank you for being an awesome grandpa, first of all. You always spoke into my life. I always remember those words, and I appreciate that. I thank you for speaking into my son's life. It means the world to me, but you're an awesome role model for me my entire life. Always love spending time with you, and we're gonna miss you quite a bit, but I just love you.
Thank you.
Wes, pastor, thank you for everything over the years. You know, when you brought me on board, I thought it was just to keep an eye on me and stuff. Some people like to hoard that over me. So. But I'm very thankful because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your obedience in Christ, so. I'm very thankful for that, and Topeka is getting one hellraiser, so to speak. R-A-Z. But you are blessed beyond measure, and you can tell it through all your kids and the seed that you've sown over the years, you and Sandy, and now you and Debbie, and I'm just thankful for that. We'll be praying for you.
Thank
at all
you.
Times.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Surely my favorite daughter-in-law would ask. Debbie, come up. You know, I thank you guys for the words, and I've gotten way more joy out of you probably than you realize, but just always happy to think about grandkids. But we ended up in a good spot together, and I've told the kids several times, I said, I very rarely do you have opportunity to be loved by a woman like I've been loved by two different women. But Debbie's loved me with that same love that Sandy loved me with, and she is for me. She is for this church. She prays for this church. She's a prayer. When you walk into our house, there seems like there's a foreigner that lives there. But that's a good thing. But I'm so glad that she's a part of this family. But the kids will tell you that they love Debbie, and she's been a blessing. So thank you again. Thank you to all you kids. Taryn did a good job yesterday playing basketball. So anyhow, thank you so much. There are refreshments on. You have anything you'd like to say? Tell them how wonderful I am.
I already know that. Well, I am just honored to be a part. You know, we've been in Topeka I was actually raised in Topeka since I was in kindergarten. And so, you know, getting to know and meet Wes along the way, I feel like my whole family has been enlarged, not just with this group behind me, but, you know, now Ulysses and Stockton. I've kind of said that before, but just being able to, you know, the two families, church families kind of coming together. What an honor to be a part of your life and part of your this great work that God has begun many years ago. You will continue to go forth strong, loud, bright, bold. You are the light of your world. Hallelujah. And love your people. Love its communities. And so it's an honor for me to know Wes, be part of his life. We are blessed.
Yes, we are.
Anyway, your future's bright. Our future's bright. We're all going on doing, serving Jesus, serving the Lord, his will, his purposes. And his purposes will be accomplished through his body. And so what an honor to be with y'all and with Pastor Wes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes.
Isn't she pretty? Seth and Tim, I'll see you guys in my office after. Actually, not so much. You'll have to counsel yourselves, Tim. I forgot about that.
A little more detail if you want.
Maybe later. That is awesome. Amen. Well.
Well, you got the best. You got the best one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, he got Kristen.
Yes, got the best.
And Seth ended up with Brandy, who is my favorite daughter-in-law. She's a little bit concerned when Debbie's family came in, and she said, just let them know who the favorite daughter-in-law is. So anyhow, thank you. Thank you for loving me and honoring me. And the same with you kids. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I extend the blessing of God upon this family, spiritual family, blood family. God, I thank you for the goodness of God that goes before all of us and keeps us by angelic host control that we give to them, keeps us in all our ways. And God, I thank you that our future, literally, because you promise it, is bright with promise. And we give you honor. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And all agree with that said? Amen. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. Please come help yourself to some refreshments before you go.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of compassion.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.